803-0550 to join us this morning. Let's go to the Western Hotline. We're waiting for another trade from the Sabres. Maybe it's Rasmus Ristolainen. So where would he go if they're trading him? We're looking at teams that might need defensemen, and that brought us to the Winnipeg Jets. A couple reasons why I wanted to talk to Jeff Hamilton from the Winnipeg Free Press. Ristolainen trade, Nikolaj Ehlers, stuff that's floating around out there on the rumor mill. Jeff is with us right now. It's Howard and Jeremy here in Buffalo. Jeff, welcome to the show, first of all.
Gentlemen, what a pleasure. Appreciate you having me on.
Well, thanks for coming on in your off season. Rasmus Ristolainen, first off, let's start there specifically. What are you hearing? Anything connected with the Sabres, with Ristolainen from Winnipeg's standpoint back there?
Well, first off, I don't know if there is an off season, especially with what's been going on last year. But yeah, I mean, it's been all rumors. I mean, if there's anything that the Jets are really, really, really good at, it's dousing those flames and trying to put those out as they try to work behind the scenes. It's been an interesting off season for Winnipeg. Certainly, Ristolainen's been a guy that's been rumored in this neck of the woods. There's been Jake Gardner's also been a guy from that the Winnipeg Jets have been interested in and have kind of pushed the buttons on. And they're really looking for guys that fit into that range, that Tyler Myers range, if you will. For what they had before, just for some cost certainty. And a guy like Ristolainen, obviously making, the $5.4 million a season, he's the kind of guy that would certainly fit on that group. And, I do like the two teams. I think there's certainly some interest there as far as what the pieces Winnipeg could give back. And certainly if you can get some kind of stabilization on that right side, a position that was a big, 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 big strength of the Winnipeg Jets, but went over a major overhaul with the loss of Jacob Trouba and Tyler Myers, I think you're going to try to at least have that conversation.
Yeah, there's definitely a need there, right? I mean, I think if you did a connect the dots thing from Winnipeg's perspective only, I know you mentioned Jake Gardner, maybe the free agent route, but there's definitely, after Byfuglien, there's what on right side D, right?
Oh, I mean, well, that was the thing. I mean, it got to a point where Tyler Myers was frustrated being on this team because it was just such a crowded right side. I mean, he was competing for ice time with Jacob Trouba. And of course, as you mentioned, Dustin Byfuglien, two pretty premier guys, right defensemen in this league. So now you look at it and it's quite different. I mean, you have a guy in Neil Pionk, who you got back in the Jacob Trouba trade. He still needs a contract, He's a little bit of an unproven guy, obviously had a bit of some offensive flash, but his defensive deficiencies were also just as glaring. So we'll see. He's not exactly a fill-in spot there. And then you look down the lineup, is Sami Niku, a guy who won AHL Defenseman of the Year a year ago. He's a guy who certainly what you'd think would be able to slot in that position, but I'm not thinking he's a top four D-man just yet. He's a smaller, thin kid. He can move the puck, absolutely. He's definitely got a lot of upside. But I don't know if you're ready to give him those kind of minutes. And behind him, it really is thin. I mean, Tucker Poolman is a guy who the Jets really, really liked, got on, was supposed to be his year last year. Unfortunately, he fell into some concussion problems. And then when he got back healthy, it was just injury after injury. Now, he's definitely going to be making a jump this year. But the Winnipeg Jets need to figure that out. I mean, this is a team that hasn't really been defensively strong for the last couple of years, particularly last season, just kind of seemed to fall by the wayside. Obviously, 2 years ago, they were able to make it to the West Final, but it was pretty much on the heels of their offense and not so much their defense. So adding a guy with experience and with some offensive upside, but also kind of an all-around player, would kind of bring the Jets back to where they used to be. Right now, they're certainly trying to, not scrambling at this point, but certainly looking for that spot.
So, Jeff, you mentioned a moment ago trade targets, all right? Let's say Bottrell is talking to Winnipeg, and the Sabres definitely need a center to put in on line two. If they don't use Johansson there, they can make a case for a top two-line right winger. So what about potential trade targets from Winnipeg if indeed they're talking Ristolainen?
So if we're going to follow the rumor mill here, I mean, one of the biggest names, of course, is Nikolaj Ehlers. Now, I find that to be an interesting conversation only because it fits the Jets' needs. I think that Buffalo, if it was to be a Ristolainen trade, I think Buffalo would have to add something to it. I don't know if the Jets are looking to get rid of a guy who, although, has struggled in the playoffs, everyone knows he hasn't scored a goal in 21 postseason games. That's obviously somewhat of a concern, but this is a guy who, ask the analytics guys, they all love him. He drives play. He's one of the few players in this league who really is that, is really has some great stats moving through the neutral zone. He's got a ton of speed. So it is an interesting conversation with him, but you look at Buffalo's roster, and do they need another left winger? I mean, not really. I mean, they're as log jammed on the left wing, in my opinion, as they are at right D. So, you know, if Nikolaj Ehlers is a piece in that, I think that's something that the Sabres would probably work around or figure out. I mean, anytime you can add a legitimate top six forward, you know, of Nikolaj Ehlers' skill, you know, you want that. But another interesting conversation would be, and you mentioned Howard Centerman, is that, you know, a Jack Roslovic. You know, Jack Roslovic is a guy who hasn't really got his chance here yet. He's got a little bit of opportunity. I shouldn't say that. I mean, he has seen some time on the first power play unit. He's been up there and, you know, in the top six for chunks of seasons, but, you know, it's predominantly been in the bottom six role, and a guy who's kind of waiting to kind of come into his own. He's certainly not going to be the only piece in that conversation. I would add in another guy like Matthew Perreault. You know, Matthew Perreault is a guy who, you know, he isn't coming off his best season, but he again, the numbers guys love him. He can add stability to a second power play unit. I wouldn't be putting him on my first power play unit, but he certainly is a solid bottom six forward and a guy that the Jets, I believe, would be looking to get rid of just to dump his $4.1 million salary. If you put those two guys together, you know, it might not be the sexy name coming back to the Sabres, but I do think it fits two solid needs, and certainly with the potential of Jack Roslovic not met yet, could be a steal actually for your side.
Jeff, would Ehlers be a possibility to be able to flip to the right wing, or is that not something that would be advised in a situation in this case?
You know what? I think it's possible. It did happen in Winnipeg. It was more of an emergency situation, like an in-game adjustment. If they wanted to add him to a different line or move him up to the first line, because you know Blake Wheeler isn't moving off the right wing on that top line. So it has happened. I don't know if obviously there's the advantages playing your off wing as far as driving into the middle, coming from your off wing. But those are skills certainly that Nick Ehlers has, and I know that's something that the Jets wanted him to do less of early on in his career, because he's not exactly the biggest guy, and coming up the middle isn't always a great recipe for staying healthy. But the flexibility is there. I don't know if I would lean on that. I don't think Nikolaj Ehlers would like to play his off wing like most players. I think they're most comfortable on their own wing. It's where they played a majority of their career and have had their success. So although I think it's an option, I don't know if it'd be the ideal one for a guy like Nick Ehlers.
You mentioned Perreault a moment ago. So what is the cap situation, you know, without knowing what the numbers are at this point for Laine and Connor? Do you think the Jets are in a situation where if they made a trade, it would be, quote-unquote, you've also got to take a contract as part of this deal?
Most likely. But I mean, at the same time, you know, Rasmus Ristolainen isn't a throw-in.
Right.
You know? So that's why I feel like that conversation, those trade talks, aren't exactly going to be, you know, if the Jets had their way, this is what they do. You know, obviously Buffalo's got to get what they want in return. But Matthew Perreault is a guy who, because he's, you know, at this point, the Jets are trying to shed as much as they can. They still have the option to buy out a guy like Dmitry Kulikov, which, I believe they probably will. They don't really need him. I don't even know if he fits into their top nine, to be honest with you. Top six, to be honest with you. I don't even, he wasn't in stretches for last season, even when he was healthy. So, but in that case, in Matthew Perreault's case, that $4 million off the books is just such a huge opportunity for them. You know, I do think they like him. He's not a player they're just throwing away. They certainly wouldn't buy him out. He's a guy who certainly has that, who offers some value to other teams, and the Jets could just, with those contracts still up in the air, it's going to be a very interesting, for many teams, what they sign for Patrick Laine, whether that be a bridge deal or a long-term deal, and ditto for Kyle Connor. There's not going to be a ton of room left over for even signing guys like Pionk, who's been, people have talked as high as $2.9 million a season for him. And of course, Andrew Kopp, a little bit of a lesser known name around the NHL, but kind of coming in just below that. So, you know, you look at with the 22 and $2.9 million the Jets have to spend this year, it's really going to get swallowed up soon with especially those two guys.
Hey, final thing on those two guys, with Laine or Connor, does either one, you think either one could drag into the season like a Nylander thing from last year?
I could see both dragging. To be honest with you, I think, you know, with this, I don't think it's a Kyle Connor, Patrick Laine issue. I think it's an RFA, high-end RFA issue for all these teams. So, You know, you just everyone. I think everyone just gets this sense that they're waiting for the first shoe to drop. Who's going to sign that first contract? I know Sebastian Aho with the whole, you know, offer sheet kind of. I think some people thought that would level things out. Well, that's kind of yesterday's news, and no one's really focusing on that anymore. And you know, I could certainly think, especially with in-house. You know, when you look at a guy like Patrick Laine, obviously had a stellar start to his career. You know, scoring 100 goals in the first three seasons, but obviously coming off a disappointing season last year where he only tucked 30-something goals. So, you know, for him, he's not going to want less than Kyle Connor, and Kyle Connor's not going to want it less than him. So Winnipeg particularly finds himself in a situation where they're going to have to kind of massage a couple egos as they work out these deals. But to just, again, to answer your question, I could totally see this getting into the fall and potentially threatening training camp.
All right. Jeff, thanks. Thanks for the information. Thanks for giving us some time this morning. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Always a pleasure, guys. Thanks. Have me on anytime. Take care.